Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, January 2nd, 2025. I need to get used to saying that. Brand new year. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I want to welcome all of you to the 225th episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. That's right, kicking off 2025 with episode 225. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I always do, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Sir, I'm having a good week. I got some good news. I finally got my final word from the VA. I start on the 13th, so very excited about that. I got that, literally got that email an hour before we went live.
Okay, I was like, why didn't you tell us?
Literally, I got the phone call on the way home from work.
On the pod, my friend.
No, I got the phone call on the way home from work. They said, when are you available to start? I said, I'm available on the 13th. They said, okay, we'll send you the letter. By the time I got home, finished dinner and everything, I had the letter in front of me. I'm like, okay, I'll tell the guys tonight. So it's all good.
Brother.
Thank you. I'm excited and I'm ready to go and start this new chapter in my professional journey. Up next, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. I'm going to add a new nickname to him this year for a little while. We'll see if it sticks. He is the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy, and he is the King of the Power Nap. Mr. Rob, how are you?
I'm good now.
And I'm calling him out for context. Rob texts us literally like 5 minutes before we go live. He's like, man, I need caffeine. I just took a nap.
Yes,
Rob, you of all people taking a nap before your podcast, like, to quote the great Iceman, I don't like you because you're unsafe. You're dangerous.
Look, man, listen. All right. I felt myself starting to drift off. And this was around 6:30-ish. So I fought for a little bit, but then it's like, you know what? I got two options here. I can take a nap and wake up in time to record, or I can keep fighting this and I can fall asleep at 7:25 and not make the show at all.
I think you made the right call because we couldn't do this without you, Rob. You guys do this well without me, but I don't think Rob's ever missed an episode. Like, when I think about it, Jason's had some personal engagements. I've had some personal engagements. Both Jason and I have traded off being sick over the last couple of months. I think Rob has the best record of appearances on this show, and it's going on now 4-year history, which is insane to me.
I was trying to think too, and I really can't think of an episode that like me and you did by ourselves.
We haven't done one. It's either been me, you and Rob, or you and Rob.
Wait, have we had somebody in from one of our ChairShot associates? Maybe me, DJ, and ChairShot?
Maybe, but
do you remember ever skipping an episode?
I don't think I have.
Good for you, man.
I think Rob has the best attendance here. Jason and I take personal leave about once every 2 months.
Yeah, I'm dipping into the PTO. Bossman gives us PTO.
He does. He gives us a little bit of PTO and a little bit of very, very minuscule amount of sick leave.
Actually, it's crazy. We make the same amount of money whether we're on the podcast, whether we're not on PTO, when we're on PTO. So it's a very fair program.
Yeah, we're on a salary program here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyway, it is a new year. This is a new year for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, a new year for all of us. And I'm not going to get too deep into resolutions, but one of my New Year's resolutions was to branch out and watch a bit more wrestling other than WWE. You guys know me. I am, just because of availability and time, I am almost exclusively WWE-centric in my wrestling viewing. That changed as of last night, January 1st, year one, 2019 of AEW, all of their premium pay-per-views, I should say, all of their Dynamites, and what appears to be like the last 3 months of 2024 were uploaded to Max as official yesterday, and their first Dynamite of the year on January 1st aired live simulcast on, is it TBS or TNT?
It's TBS.
TBS and a simulcast on Max, which I have, which now allows me and affords me the ability to watch AEW live as it's happening. I'd had some avenues in the past that had been gifted to me to watch AEW, and I just never took advantage of them the way I should. But now with Max, it being on Max, I can do that. And I was there front and center for the first AEW Dynamite on Max. And I, since Rob watched it, I think, did you finally go back and watch it? Because again, I know you were on one of your
I caught the main event, and I went mad and watched the rest of it.
I don't want to spoil nothing for anybody, but Rob was napping again.
Oof.
No. So.
Right, before we get into the show, I do not want to skip the new, as of this week, intro to AEW Dynamite. Holy shit.
What? I love the Pointer Sisters. I love that song. What did that? I'm watching them. Mind you, this is my introduction, full introduction. I've watched episodes of Collision, you know, when I was at somebody's house and had it on. I've watched stuff off the internet, but my first sit down on my own introduction to AEW, and my first thought was, what the fuck is this? And that's not against the Pointer Sisters. That's not against the song. It's a wonderful song, but I'm like, if there was ever a clash of anythings, that was it, man. And immediately I'm like, okay, I'm already like, I'm trying to immerse myself here and watch this objectively. And in the first 30 seconds, I'm already like spun out of my own head here. I'm like, what are we doing?
And also, you're wrestling fans are a certain demographic. Certainly the wrestling fans that spend a lot of money on wrestling. Who here doesn't think of, Jesse Spano on Saved by the Bell when she had the caffeine pill addiction? Like, am I the only one who thought of that whole thing where she's like, she's dancing around the room, I'm so excited, I'm so excited, and she falls into Zach's arms, I'm so scared! I'm just like, well, that's how I feel when I watch Dynamite, so I guess it fits.
It's like a fever dream.
It is!
Now, we remember back during the 80s on a lot of wrestling shows, they had licensed music. And it didn't necessarily fit anything. They just, I think somebody running the show happened to like the song or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, what was it? WWE had a video package one time where it was literally just showcasing the wrestlers, but it was Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Yeah.
Like, that is not about a fight. It's not a fight song, dude.
Yeah. And like, cause there used to be this thing called like Pro Wrestling This Week or something. It was kind of like a weekly rundown of everything that came on TV. And it was like syndicated on some obscure channels, UHF channels or whatever. And I think they use like Party All the Time as the intro music.
That's incredible.
I'll say this though. If they had followed this intro with a show that felt like, I don't know, 3 years ago, Collision, You're at least getting closer there, because that's, yeah, again, we go back to my Saturday Night Wrestling thing. Saturday Night in the 80s wrestling show, I could absolutely see the Pointer Sisters being the 70s, 80s being
You know what would have made that whole segment? If they had bled right in from that, into the Nitro Girls.
Hey, man. Nitro Girls are great. Okay.
You'll never hear me say a bad word about Nitro Girls, my friend.
There you go.
But it's, yeah, I mean, that's a very retro thing Tony did there, because
yeah.
getting some music that had nothing to do with the show, but hey, why not?
That is definitely not booking for the sickos, though, buddy, because your target audience was like, what song is that?
No. Unlike those 80s wrestling promoters, Tony probably actually paid for it, though, because back then, they would, because they figured, well, the people who own the record company, they're not watching the wrestling show. We can just play the song.
And to credit Tony, from what I understand, he has been good about paying for the licensing for these songs. Whereas Vince would do it, but he always hated doing it, which is why he tried to keep as much of the music in-house as humanly possible, because he didn't like paying the fees.
And then Paul Heyman with ECW, he just played it, and he's like, well, fuck it, they're not watching ECW. They're not going to see this shit anyway.
What are they going to do, sue me?
Like, I don't have – we're broke.
I don't have anything. I'm not even paying the workers.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize to the listeners in advance. You're probably going to hear one of my cats making a ton of noise. I'm locked up in the pod cave because if I let him in, he will be all over me. He's my son's cat. My son's out of town and he is miserable without my son here. So I've become his new human and I don't want him in here. But if it gets too obnoxious, I may have to take a chance.
Oh boy.
So this should be a fun episode tonight.
We love our listeners. We can't stress that enough.
If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you do know we all have our pet mascots. We've got Bucky the Wonder Dog. We've got Miss Kitty. We've usually got Sasha in here somewhere. And right now I've got Valen, who's got a paw and a half under the door trying to climb in under the doors. It's incredible.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a fun show tonight. Hey. But let's get into it. Dynamite. This is my introduction. What?
EJ, it's Bucky the Winter Pupper. Get it right.
Winter Pupper. I'm sorry. The Wonder. He's not the Wonder Dog. He's the Winter Pupper. Literally named after Bucky the Winter Soldier. Deej, come on. Put two and two together.
Yes, sir.
Jason, it's only been 3 years. I'll figure it out.
One day. I believe in you.
We're a professional podcast here.
I haven't lost faith in you yet, buddy.
Thanks, man. So, my introduction to AEW Dynamite, and I went into this, and if you guys listening to this know I have been notoriously harsh on a lot of what I've seen of AEW, which really hasn't been much. So I sat down and I wanted to watch it objectively. And while there was some stuff I saw on there that was not bad, I got to say for their inaugural episode on Max, given that this was a Fight for the Fallen, so this is kind of a big deal for them. This is an exclusive event to them. I thought they would book something a little bit bigger and better than they did. I felt like overall the whole delivery felt flat for me, you know, and we can, Rob, I'll let you take over from here and then we can kind of build upon that, the matches themselves and the content a little bit more. Cause it wasn't bad. Like, let me start right off the rip and say, this was not a bad show. I just expected more for being as big as this was their first day on Max as part of the new TV deal.
Okay, so to give context here, now they did not hype this up the way that WWE is doing the Netflix thing. Because this is just basically the Max thing, it's an add-on for them. Whereas WWE is moving to Netflix, right?
Yeah, but you're still opening yourselves up to a potentially larger market. They should have advertised the shit out of it.
Yeah, now I agree, but advertising is one of their many shortcomings. And that's the thing that doesn't get talked about as much, you know, in internet conversations because people are so, you know, cause it's not sexy to talk about, but it, you know, you get to talking to people and advertising has not been one of their strong suits. Even like even when they come to town for, you know, local advertising is not one of their strong suits.
Do you think Tony's relying too heavily on word of mouth?
I don't know. I think it just might be one of those things he doesn't think about. You know, cause they do local radio. Like when they come to DC, like they'll have somebody do like Britt Baker or somebody do local radio. But that's about it. Cause like back in, like during the Monday Night Wars, both, you know, you could watch Raw and you'd see ads for WCW coming to DC, and you'd be watching Nitro and you'd see ads for WWE coming to DC or whatever. And then back when, before Tony bought Ring of Honor, I used to watch Friday Night SmackDown up here because Ring of Honor used to be based out of Baltimore. And we would get local ads for Ring of Honor shows during SmackDown on Fridays. Like, he didn't do that. Like, I think it's just, he doesn't think about it. I'm guessing he doesn't think about it. And the guys, you know, and those guys around him, they, you know, they worked their indie shows before they worked their AEW. They're not, you know, they're not thinking about that stuff either.
Yeah.
So, and see, when we talk about things like attendance, local advertising matters. Because there are literally people who do not know they're coming to town. So to that end, they should have made a bigger deal out of publicizing.
Like World's End. World's End was literally an hour away from me in Orlando. And had I known, like you said, and putting my AEW bias aside, I honestly would go to a live AEW show. Rob has been, he said it was a good time, and it's wrestling. You know, and live wrestling is fun. So, yes. You know, I would have gone to World's End had it, one, not been on December 28th of all things. And two, if I'd known about it more than 3 weeks ahead of the show and yeah. Literally did not know they were, because I'd seen advertisements for World's End, but I didn't pay much attention to it and realized it was right in my own backyard. So, and there was no hype, no advertising, literally nothing poured into that show.
So that is an issue. And another thing with this show in particular, World End was on Saturday, and there's a joint, like New Japan CMLL show, like in a couple of days, and they have some people going to work that show. So basically they're running on fumes right now.
Yeah. They spread their workers thin over the holidays.
So. Well, cause they always have people to go do Wrestle Kingdom or whatever, you know, and then, so they're kind of running on fumes. And, well, yeah, I mean, so look, well, but you don't want to be running on, I mean, you know, they need to plan accordingly though. So, because you know, this premiere date was when it is. So
yeah,
even if you do have people, like, even if you have people going there and all that, you got to plan accordingly. Maybe they should have done World's End a week before. Maybe they should have done them the 21st instead of the 28th. So there's just kind of not so great planning involved here, I think. And I think that factored into them having a, you know, kind of a lackluster thing going on last night.
You know? Yeah. And it's, so we can get into the card a little bit and then, you know, get into the show itself. I want to say, and this is a positive, I don't know, because like I said, let's rewind a little bit. When the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight happened, a lot of people in the wrestling bubble were looking at that as the litmus test for what was going to happen when WWE goes live. Never mind the fact that I think like 72 million people crammed up Netflix's server, which you can't even compare to wrestling. Nowhere in that ballpark is going to be watching Monday Night Raw. It's just not going to happen. So it's going to be a non-issue. But people in the wrestling bubble were looking at that. So, of course, and like I said, without knowing how the broadcasting worked going on Max, whether they were just simulcasting with or what, the presentation, the streaming was good. I didn't have any issues. I didn't have any problems. It started on time. There were no lags. There was none of that. So it was a smooth transition from the simulcast from TBS onto Max. So I appreciated that because I was a little concerned with how that was going to go. The overall production of the show was good. There were a few little things that I saw where I was like, I'm not sure. I would have done a different camera angle there, but it's what it is. I'm not going to beat it up. The first match we opened up with Orange Cassidy and Hangman Page. And it was fine. Like, it was a fine opening match, I guess. There were a couple little spots. Like, there was one point. This goes back to my training as a wrestler. You don't repeat the same move back to back. And Hangman and Orange Cassidy did this with a, like a tilt-a-whirl spinning tornado DDT. Like, literally, Orange Cassidy did it once. Whipped him back into the ropes, and he did it again within like 30 seconds later. And just with my training, that drove me insane. Cause I remember one time I was working with Cliff, and I was doing my thing. I was getting over a little bit, and I did a remember the fist drop that Ted DiBiase used to do.
Oh yeah.
So I did the fist drop because I'm still young. I'm trying to put my five moves of doom together, and I always liked the fist drop. So I did the fist drop, got up. I was like, oh, that looked pretty good. He sold the shit out of it. Let me do it again. So I did it again. Cliff rolls up off the ring. This motherfucker hit me with this move twice and proceeded to spend the next 5 minutes beating my ass in the ring. So
your Cliff impression will never not bother him.
So I learned a valuable lesson that day. If you're in a real match scenario, do not go for the same move twice in a row against a ring veteran. It doesn't go well for you. So just having that drilled into my head, that sat odd with me. But otherwise, the match was good. You know, it really was. Hangman was good as the heel, and Orange Cassidy does what Orange Cassidy does. And, you know, he came up a little short at the end. But all in all, I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I agree with your assessment of the whole show. It even for their pay-per-view, like TV special, whatever you want to call them, it felt a little flat, but I think you guys are right about the timing thing. But the match was fine. So, I mean, and those guys are always going to at least put on a good show.
Yeah. So the one ladies match of the night was, and help me with the names here, Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that guy here. I really don't want to be that guy because we've always been very, very supportive of the women and supportive of the women's, efforts and their progression in the business. I feel like they could have put, now we have to be fair because both women were coming back off an injury. Jamie Hayter was out for an extended period of time. And then I think Julia Hart came back from a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So both women were probably shaking off a little bit of ring rust, but I think for this show, for what it was supposed to be, they could have put two women who were probably a little bit better fit in that spot. If you're trying to show a potential new audience what your women can do, I'm sorry, other than the finish, and we'll get to the finish in a minute, this match wasn't it.
Yeah, well, I'll say I agree with you. And now Jamie Hayter is actually very good.
Oh yeah, she carried that match.
Yeah,
second, and she's awesome.
Julia Hart is not.
I'm going to say it, and I hate being this way. It's in our intro. Rob once called a WWE Golden Child wrestler a Before the Bell Rings All-Star. Julia Hart's entrance was fucking incredible. Like, I dug the entrance music. I loved the look, the lighting, the everything about it until the bell rang. And then I'm like, ah, crap.
Dude, and she's good at all the other stuff, too. Like,
oh, yeah, she gets all the really looks. It's like, I want to talk about the finish, because the finish was she brought out an arrow, which I guess is part of her gimmick. The ref, I think it was Aubrey, took the arrow, turns her back, turns around. Julia hits Jamie with the mist. And I always pop for a good mist spot. I like a good mist spot. So
black
she
mist.
Hits.
So you know it's extra evil.
It's extra evil. So the black mist, Jamie Hayter takes the bump. Julia Hart goes for the pin. And one little nuance that I like, Julia used her arm to cover Jamie's face so that the ref didn't see the mist. And a lot of people might not have caught that little nuance. A lot of people probably just would have gone for the cover, and the ref makes the three while they're clearly staring at the wrestler with black mist all over their face. Drives me fucking nuts. Like, you don't see there was shenanigans afoot here. But Julia very smartly covered her face with her arm, and I thought that was – the finish was incredible. Like, I enjoyed the finish. The match itself left a lot to be desired.
And they pulled it off well, too. Like,
they did.
The timing was so good.
It was well executed.
Yeah, and yeah, he did pop live when that happened. He was like, "Oh, did you see her? She covered the." And obviously, it was.
Yeah, we were in our chat with all our group friends, and I was with Maddie. I was kind of live chatting with her while it was going on, because I think she was the only one who was watching it in real time with me, because Jason was off doing Jason things, and Rob was napping
between 12 other things. So
yeah, and so and look, and I'll say. Well, Julia, she is very inexperienced. When I say she's not very good, it's
lack of experience.
Yeah, and so
because she gets the little stuff, man. It's just the moves. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. And so, you know, put it this way: this was not, like you said, this was not These were not the two women they wanted to put in the ring to have to showcase somebody. If this was your first time watching AEW.
Give me Willow and Sky Blue again, man.
Well, because Willow's going
to Japan. They tore the house down a few months ago.
Willow's going over to Japan for that thing, so she's not there.
Okay.
Well, Mercedes is going there also, but she took the time to grace us with her presence.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Boy, have I got words.
But I think they would have been better off. Like, they do have some women who are lesser known right now, but who would have been better to put in there and would have put on a better match. Like there's one Queen Aminata. She usually loses the better people to higher ranked people, but she's a good one. They could have put in there and to just have a match. They could have put her and Jamie Hayter in there and they'd have a better match. So I think, yeah, I mean, that's a planning thing. You know, if you're booking this show, you got to think ahead. You got to put two people in there to have a better match. And
one thing that literally just popped in my head, and I don't know why it didn't. This is literally the holiday season. This show was live on January 1st. There may very well have been people who were out on vacation or took time off. So for context and in fairness, we have to keep that in mind. It literally just popped in my head that, Jesus, DJ, this was January 1st. It's a fucking holiday. So the card may have been subject to talent availability, too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You got to think about that.
And we should say it wasn't a bad show.
No, not at all.
It wasn't quite what the pomp and circumstance and quality we expected for the premiere on Max, but it was not a bad show by any means.
No.
It was kind of a regular episode, so to speak. It wasn't a special episode.
Next up, this was where and I hate this because this was the reason why I watched the tag match with Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, because these two guys are two guys I want to see more of, and they were part of the reason why I was really eager to watch Dynamite, was to see Shelton and Bobby Lashley in action against Private Party, right?
It was the Acclaimed.
Or the Acclaimed. Okay, that's right. The Acclaimed. Max Caster.
I know we all look alike.
Oh, my God. He was going to hit me with that. I should have known it. I should have known it. Damn it. Damn it. It's a trap.
All right.
But, okay. I'm always here for... Speaking of which... Tony Schiavone did it again. Tony Schiavone, Lashley was in the ring beating up, I think it was Max Caster, and it was Shelton Benjamin, and Schiavone called him Lashley again.
Oh.
He did it again, man.
We all look like the Tony.
Tony's the guilty one, not me, Rob. But I was really looking forward to this match, and it was fine. Like, it was pretty much a squash. The most glaring part to me was the finish. They botched the finish hard. There was supposed to be a blind tag because they're teasing the split between Max Caster and, for the life of me, I do not know the other guy's name.
Anthony Bowens.
Anthony Bowens. So, and this officially became a thing last night. But Max Caster was way out of position for the blind tag. And rather than call an audible, they did the spot again. And
you know what that is? Max Caster stinks. Okay.
Yeah. And, but that's the thing. Shelton should, cause Shelton was the other guy in the ring. Shelton should have known better. But he was probably in this. He's like, okay, this guy stinks. What am I going to do? You know what? Just go to the finish again. And it wouldn't have been so bad, except it was the finish. Like, it was literally part of the story to get us to the finish, so it just stuck out like a bad appendage. So, unfortunately for me, that ruined the one thing that I was the most excited to see, which was Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin murdering somebody. So, again, I'm not going to completely dump on it because I got to see them murder somebody, but still, just that one thing, and it's me thinking of it like a worker. It's what did Vince McMahon say one time? They only ever remember the finish, and unfortunately for these guys, that was the finish.
Yeah, well, I mean, then I'll just add it to the add to the chorus. Max Caster stinks, man.
Yeah, he's just not good. I don't know. He wasn't good.
Seemingly from all my 10,000 feet view, seemingly repulsive as a person, not a good wrestler. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, where's the value here? Like, where's the dollar? Where's the dollar sign at?
And Anthony Bowens is great.
Is he good? I'm just.
Yes.
Keep in mind, I'm just now being introduced to a lot of these people, so.
Yeah.
Well. Next up thing, and I'm going to be honest here, this was probably my favorite part of the whole show, Powerhouse Hobbs destroying two job guys.
I love when
they do the meaty men slapping meat job guy destruction, and again, it was a two-on-one crushing.
Yes.
It's so simple, it's so old school, and it's so effective.
Yes.
And for me, it was the most fun I had watching this whole show. The whole night was that little squash match with Powerhouse Hobbs.
Hey, it was a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, and he has so much potential. I hope they finally figure it out with him, or he gets free.
That dude's got tremendous upside.
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple times. I saw him. I think it was an episode of Collision. It was a couple years ago. It was one of the last Collisions before CM Punk finally left. I think it was Powerhouse Hobbs versus Dustin Rhodes, and it was a really good match. Like, it really was a good match. I was watching it with my dad, and my dad, he's like, Dustin Rhodes still fucking wrestles? I'm like, yeah.
Because he sometimes he uses a torture rack or finisher, and he even told a story. He called Lex Luger and asked him, like, you know, is it okay for me to do it? And Lex was like, hell yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And Big E has co-signed him before, you know.
He has.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they finally figure out what to do with that guy, because he has so much potential.
Yeah. So I want to talk about where this show really fell apart for me, and that was with the stuff that wasn't in the ring. Like, stuff in the ring I could breathe through, and what was good was really good. What wasn't good was bad, but the backstage stuff just fell apart. And one big area for me, and this was a little bit close, anything that they did with FTR was just cringe. And I get it. This is Dax Harwood, was formerly known as Scott Dawson?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, this is his hometown, you know, Fight for the Fallen. They're raising money for the victims of Hurricane Milton. Great cause. Support it. Wonderful idea. This is his hometown. But just any segment, and they did a segment with Rated FTR against the Learning Tree minus Chris Jericho. And maybe this segment was intentionally cringe, but if it was, that made it even worse. Did you see it, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, FTR, man.
We could have a whole discussion about them.
Yeah.
We really could. It's like, I said, and this might be mean, and it's probably untrue. They probably had a higher ceiling than this. But, like, when they were Shane's goons, I was like, guys, that is a pretty cushy spot to be in. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. You're always going to be in the tag rotation because they are a very good tag team.
Oh, they're incredible once the bell rings.
They're not going to fall down into the lower tag team division. And they're still going to be like that. And even now, they're goons for Edge. So I don't know. And they talk very highly of themselves but. Yeah, and they do this cringe, I think they're doing that's the joke, we are in on it, we're, you know, we know we're being dorky and we don't care, but
it's just kind of delivered.
It's just like, but you're not even doing a bit, really. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, I'll just say that, as always, I'm happy to see Big Bill has just, because remember when he was in a pretty dire straits a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so, personally, he was struggling in life.
Yeah, and so it's good to see him, doing well for himself. And
yeah,
I'll leave it there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Let's move into the next terrible segment of the night. Sasha slash Mercedes Moné.
No, no, buddy. That was Mercedes Moné. That was not Sasha slash.
No, there was no Monet. Sasha Banks in that segment whatsoever. This was all Mercedes Moné, and she, God, again, when the bell rings, she's one of the best currently doing it. She really is that good. And I'll give it, I've said that about Sasha Banks when she was still in WWE, and I've seen her Japan stuff since she left. I've seen some of her AEW stuff since she's been there. She's still that damn good when the bell rings, but she is living proof that some people creatively are no good on their own. The only thing good about this segment was the video package of her actual wrestling that they showed on screen. That was really good. Her delivery of all the rest of it stunk out the building, and that crowd could not have cared less.
And see, and this is
that's the thing. Like, dude, I just have to point to the crowd. Like, that crowd wants to be there. They're at Fight for the Fallen. They're all AEW marks.
That's
like,
the thing that we're gonna talk. I'm gonna talk about that at the tail end of this segment because that crowd was not there. That crowd was on its hands the whole night.
It was, but it was particularly silent during Mercedes's promo. Yeah. Holy Moses.
This is not good.
Yeah.
It's like, as much as I want to watch her wrestle, I don't care. I don't care how we got there or how we're getting there. It's like nothing about what she did or that I've seen otherwise compels me to want to watch her other than, hey, I'm going to get a great match here.
Yeah, so now, having watched her the whole time since she's been there, basically, this reaction when she's talking is what usually happens. Because it...
I mean, guys, they had to put the chant in her song to maybe sort of kind of get a crowd chant going for 2 seconds.
Yeah, and like the only time, like, when she was at that show in DC, people did chant it on their own. She was in Washington DC, and that's, you know, those are people who know her and all of that. So yes, they
close to her home territory.
But, yeah, just it's, you know, I've been trying to put my finger on like to describe the way that she talks, and it's like part for me, it's like, it sounds like part high school mean girl and part Kardashian, you know.
Yeah,
and it's just, it sounds really fake, and it man, it's bad, and they just, and she, they just let her talk. They just,
I shouldn't want you during your promo, like, I should be curious about what are you out here for, but I shouldn't be saying, okay, get to the point.
Because by contrast, they had like a tape thing with Mariah May doing a promo, and it was the exact opposite.
It was incredible. It was a great promo.
Yeah. And so just you compare one to the other, and because she was never a great talker anyway, but they managed the segments so that, you know, Bailey was there talking with her, or Charlotte was going back and forth with her, you know. But there's nobody managing that now, so they just let her talk.
That is one thing WWE has always, always done better than anybody else, is mask people's weaknesses. Like, they can take somebody who's not particularly strong in the ring and make them look like $1 million. They can also take somebody who's average to decent on the mic and put them in. It's all presentation. And that's the part of AEW that I think Tony is really lacking in, is he doesn't know how to hide those inefficiencies. And because he's trusting the talent, he's giving the talent much more runway than I think some of them deserve. Now, some people can create, like, you take we'll just take Sting. Because we've talked at great length about how great Sting's final run in AEW was. Sting's a 40-year fucking veteran, okay? Sting has seen what works. He knows what works for him, and he knows what gets that character over. You know, Sasha spent her time on the indies, spent, what, 10 years in WWE, had them doing it for her, and now she's out here on her own, and it's parts of it are falling apart. because she just doesn't get what it takes. And it's not, and I'm sorry, guys, we can argue this until we're all blue in the face. It is not all about the bell-to-bell stuff. You know, if you can't deliver in a promo and you can't make that audience connect and feel, they're gonna crash out on you. And that's, I watched that in real time last night. That audience did not give a shit that she was out there. They did not give a shit that she's the, what, TBS Women's Champion? And yeah. What's the other belt that she owns? What's the New Japan one?
New Japan Strong. That's
the New Japan Strong.
Yeah.
They didn't give a damn. They were sitting on that. They had the hard cam shot at one point and nothing. Crickets sitting on their hands. It was like one or two people in the front row were making some noise. And I think that was mainly because, hey, I'm on TV and I'm in the front row.
You know? Look, it's just, put it this way. Now, when she comes out there to talk, your instinctive reaction is, oh boy, this is just going to suck. And that's where it is now. And so, and you know how it is when you get that mindset that this is going to suck. You know, unless something drastically different happens, you're locked in on this. It's going to suck. So yeah. For you, it's sucking. And she, you know, and basically, yeah, it's not good. And again, like I said, contrast that with, you know, the thing Mariah May did where it was very focused. She made all of her points. She knew exactly where she was coming from, what she was saying, and all of that. I mean, it's just.
To be fair, that's the beauty of pre-taped versus live though.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And. So look, I mean, free tape stuff is often there are very few people who can just go out there and talk forever
and freestyle. Yeah.
And so very few people should do that ever in any company. And she is definitely not one of the people who should be doing it.
Yeah. So let's move on to something that I thought really was good. For me, it was match of the night. It was the triple threat match with Roderick Strong, Switchblade Jay White, and Swerve. This match was great. But the only thing about this match, please, somebody, did Roddy look off last night? Like, he just, usually Roderick Strong is somebody I loved watching him in NXT. He's one of those guys where he didn't have a lot of personality, but bell to bell, I liked watching him work. I liked studying him from a worker's perspective. He just looked out of sorts. I know he had jet lag. He was tired, whatever the case may have been. He just did not seem like the Roderick Strong that I remember from NXT. The match was still good. Everybody was crisp. Everybody, you know, Swerve was on point last night.
Usually he is better than that. I will say, cause we've all been kind of scratching our heads about the whole Ricochet thing. There is actually a direction to what's going on here. Because basically, at World's End, well, cause last week on TV, you know, the Hurt Syndicate kind of punked him and then he went backstage and then Swerve punked him a little bit too. And then World's End, he lost to Okada in the semifinals of their tournament thing. And Swerve comes out there with his manager and they pass out toilet paper around the front row and the front row just TP'd him, you know, while he's standing in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
So he's getting bullied by all of these people and he's been kind of getting more heelish in the ring over the past few weeks. So last night he flipped out basically. It's kind of weird to see him doing all this. Yes, but there is actually a point in the direction to it. We'll see where it lands.
To be fair, and I'm not sold on it yet because it's a little awkward. To be fair, at least they're doing something with him. At least they're trying. You know, at least they're like, okay, let's get, if you want to stretch your legs a little bit, spread your wings a little bit, let's see what you can do. For me, I think he should have taken the glasses off. Cause the whole segment for me visually hit less than it would have if he had taken the glasses off. The glasses kept distracting me from thinking that this is a guy who's completely lost it. Like, this is a guy who's tired of being the butt of everybody's jokes. This is he's tired of getting toilet paper thrown at him. He's tired. This guy, Swerve, was the guy that pushed him over the edge. And you come out wearing glasses. He looked like a dork. And I wanted to like the segment. I really did. I'm like, because I'm invested. I want to see what a heel Ricochet looks like. And it fell flat for me because of that one little detail. He should have taken the glasses off.
That's fair.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
But again,
I honestly, no notes. They're like, I totally agree.
Yeah. It just didn't land because of that for me.
And so I will say, but at least, again, this is one of the few times that there's actually there's a direction to it here. Like they didn't just say, okay, well, you're going to be a heel. So just go act like a jerk now. Right. I mean, so at least there is some type of, there's some plan or something going here.
Yeah.
And so at least, you know, we'll see where it lands.
Okay. All right. So this is where I tap out because I'm old. I'm tired. I had to work today. I didn't watch the main event. No, I take that back. I watched about maybe 3 to 5 minutes of the main event. Some of it was because I was tired and I'm like, this already looks like it's going to run over. It's getting close to 10 o'clock. I got to go to sleep. 2, I'm just not into this Moxley thing. I'm just not. It was cool last week when Adam Copeland came out. We're going to get to that briefly. We're going to get to that. Adam Copeland came out and jumped him and did the thing with the chair bar. Okay, excellent, cool, very cool. We saw somebody finally come out and try to kick Moxley's ass. I don't care because nothing about this Moxley thing appeals to me. It's like I've watched the promo with the three of them, and you know Moxley, you know I'll melt this thing down or drop it to the bottom of the ocean before I'll let anybody take it from me. It's like okay, dude, it whatever. So. The FTR as an act, I have checked out on. Like I said, bell to bell, wonderful guys. Somebody fill me in. I'm assuming that Wheeler Yuta took the pin.
It was a perfectly fine TV main event, and it was a perfectly fine, especially in front of was a home crowd for FTR and all of that, and given the occasion and all of that. I'm the Moxley thing. It's a drag. Like, it's not even, like, it's not even like, to me, it doesn't even feel like evil. It's just, it's a drag.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not compelling to me.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, you know, I think like, you know, like with the Bloodline stuff, right? You know, Roman Reigns playing is this evil character, but it's compelling. Or even when Solo was doing the thing, it's compelling. You know, the Judgment Day stuff when they were at their, you know, when they were at their real peak last year, you know, when Damian was like, all rise. And, you know, and they went into their whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was compelling stuff, right? This is just a drag.
I hate this word as Jason and most people do. There's no aura here with Mox whatsoever. And I hate saying that because he was literally at one point my favorite member of the Shield. Like early on in the early days when I started watching this shit again, the Shield was still doing its thing. Mox was Dean Ambrose was my dude. I thought Dean Ambrose was fucking awesome.
Well, look, there's one member in the group who I say does have it, and that's Marina Shafir.
Yeah, she does. She's got a presence about her.
She is the only one in the group.
Yeah.
It does.
So I'm not going to go too much more on this. I'm going to go ahead and give this show, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give it a B-, because the in-ring stuff wasn't bad. It really wasn't. That's probably high marks coming from me. I won't give it a C because it was a good charitable event. They were doing it for a good reason. And the stuff that I enjoyed, I enjoyed. Like I said, the triple threat match was awesome. And the end, other than that one little detail, has me wanting to know what the next step is. Okay, so I'm invested in Swerve versus Ricochet. Regardless of how dorky I thought Ricochet looked, I'm invested in it. So yeah, I give it a solid B minus. I think the execution could have been a little better, but all in all, I'll be watching again next. I'll probably even watch, was it Collision on Friday? Or Rampage? Yeah. Whichever one. I know they canceled one. I'm sorry, discontinued one of their shows.
Yeah, Rampage is over.
But, Rampage is over. Collision is still on. That's on Saturday. As time allows, I'll probably watch that. But I'm definitely going to be dialed into at least Dynamite on Wednesdays now that it's available.
And like I think we said this in our chat, it's an a la carte show. The stuff you like, you will definitely like. And then the stuff you don't, you'd be like, oh, what is this shit?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is with them. I mean,
yeah. And at some point, I'll probably deep dive into 2019 year one AEW just because I'd like to see where it started and compare where it started to where it is now. Because I know in the eyes of a lot of us analysts, there has been a sharp drop off in the last 24 months in AEW quality, in AEW focus and direction. I'd like to see where it started and compare the two products side by side.
I guess for me, what's funny for me is like, I just started really watching it.
In the last 12 months, you've become more invested in it.
Because, because the people they were featuring when they first started were mostly people I didn't like or didn't care to see. And now it's the opposite. Now they have a bunch of people who I actually wanted to see. So that's why I started late. So I'm not really saying I probably won't watch this stuff from 2019 because I didn't really want to see many of those people.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, and if I have some free time, I'll probably throw something on there. If it sucks, I won't finish it. If it's compelling, I'll probably see it through to the end. So,
you can cherry pick some good stuff out of that.
Yeah, the year of 2019 couldn't have been that bad because they had their most momentum from 2019 to 2021.
Yeah,
so it couldn't have been that bad. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to burn through the New Year's Evil, right?
Yes.
Yeah, New Year's Evil, and then we are going to talk WWE Monday Night Raw Night 1 on Netflix. Remember, this is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you in the new year to pick yourself up a T-shirt. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I know the holidays are over. The holiday shopping is over, but you still need a T-shirt. prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, look at browse, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check out the shirts. Pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some WWE and NXT.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back, the first of 2025. Everybody's loading the shows up. WWE's got a huge week ahead of them. We kicked the whole thing off with NXT's New Year's Evil. Jason, as customary, is going to take the card. Jason, the show is yours.
All right. We are going to do this a little, lightning round style. But first up on this card that I've got in front of me, we have Trick Williams defending his championship against Obafemi and Eddie Thorpe in a triple threat match. I look for Obafemi to win here. Rob?
I think they did that weird thing with Eddie Thorpe to put him in the match so he could take the pin. I think Trick pins him. And I think, so he survives. And then I think he and Oba will have their one-on-one thing at Standing and Deliver.
That you actually just talked me into that. DJ?
Yeah, Rob talked me into that as well. Because I was sitting there while Jason was describing his finish. I was sitting there thinking, okay, it's a possibility we get Trick in the Rumble. But I'm like, wait a minute. They got one more big show. And then we still need the one-on-one. Because the money is one-on-one with Trick and Oba.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against Eddie Thorpe. But that's where the money is with those two. So, yeah, Rob talked me into it.
Okay. Next up, we have Roxanne Perez defending her NXT Women's Championship against Julia. Das Vidania, don't get any on you, Roxanne Perez. Thanks for everything. See you in the Rumble. New NXT champion, Julia. Rob?
I agree. And I'm expecting this to be the main event. so they can end with the fireworks and streamers and all that stuff.
Are they going to give it the Japanese ending? Streamers and the flowers and everything, the whole gimmick?
Probably, or at least they'll get pyro and everything, and confetti or something, but
yeah.
You know, I expect this to be the main event, and I expect, yeah, Julia's winning, obviously.
And then Jordan Grace comes out at the end. No, I don't know.
We still got a couple weeks before that happens, buddy. Yeah, I think she's still got another, 3 weeks on her contract?
Yeah. And she's easy Rumble, right? Come in, Jordan toss Grace? Two girls out. Yeah.
Maybe. They might not since they did it last year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But, of course, we're going to see her on Tuesday night within a month or two.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And she'll probably be wrestling a collection of these ladies. Because next up, we have a Fatal 4-Way match for the number one contendership for the NXT Women's North American Championship. We have Cora Jade, Kalani Jordan, Lola Vice, and Stephanie Vaquer. If I had to pick out of this hat, let's go with Lola Vice. I don't know why. This match is going to be a lot of fun, so I'm excited. DJ?
I want Lola Vice. I think it's going to be Cora Jade.
Okay. Rob?
I'm going to go Lola Vice.
Okay. Then well, next up.
They're kind of button heads, so I think that's going to cause them to take each other out of the equation.
Good call. All right. So next up, we have Alexis King defending the NXT Heritage Cup against Charlie Dempsey in a sudden death rules, match, which I assume means it's just one fall. Instead of the whole contrived, rounds and whatnot. It's just like, all right, here we go. And Charlie Dempsey's gonna win this, right? Yeah, obviously. Regal showed up. We can't disappoint Regal. DJ?
Yeah, I think Charlie Dempsey wins. I'm looking forward to this one because Alexis King has really stepped up his game in the ring. You know, I know his early few months in NXT were a little shaky and a lot of people were like, okay, what are we doing here? The kid's elevated his game. I'm looking for a good match here.
And also, he has that beard when he's not a professional wrestler. Hats off to you, sir.
That beard is egregious. I love it, and it's such a great gimmick.
Just the fact that he has to navigate his personal life with that, what if you're at a wedding? You're just gonna, all right, good for you.
Oh, man. You just wear a mask and tell people you're still scared of COVID.
Yeah, Rob, what do you think here?
I don't know. I think it can go either way. But I'm gonna go with you guys and go with Charlie.
That guy's so good. Charlie Dempsey's so damn good.
And doesn't he just look like a Charlie Dempsey?
He does. He looks like one of those old, cause when I think Dempsey, I think like old school pugilist, 1930s boxer and bare knuckles. It's perfect.
His dad in him in that regard. So, next up, we have the final match on the card. We have the 6-women tag match. We have Gigi Dolin, Shotzi, and Tato Paxley taking on Fatal Influence, Fallon Henley, JC Jane, and Jasmine Nix. So I look for the bad guys to win this one because they're an actual team. Rob?
I think so because, I think they're going to win this.
So, and DJ?
One, I'm so glad to see Gigi Dolin back on my TV. Two, welcome back Shotzi. I guess now is she permanently in NXT again or is she just on loan like some of this talent usually does? I guess that's to be determined. The heels are taking this one home.
Robert?
He gave you his.
Oh, all right. Then we're done.
Yeah. We're done. All right. Yeah, all in all, man, this should be a fun show. You're looking at the card, the whole thing top to bottom. Looks like the matches should be excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another great NXT show, so.
Yeah. So speaking of Stacked, the inaugural show, we said goodbye to Raw on USA Network, and to be fair, it was a lovely send-off. It's a nice little video package. It was very, very well done. kind of emotional. It's kind of an odd thing to say we're going to be seeing, not only for the history that Raw and WWE/WWF have had with USA Network over the last 30 to 40 years, but Raw on Netflix just still sounds odd to me. We are getting that in T-minus from recording tonight, 4 days and counting. And brothers, they have got this show stacked to the gills. This, like, somebody on the app formerly known as Twitter likened it to a WrestleMania-esque type feel. And I got to say, with everything that we know is confirmed and with all the things that are being rumored, this show is going to be loaded. And I think somebody said the first 90 minutes are commercial free. Did I read that correctly?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think I read that somewhere, that the first 90 minutes are going to be commercial free.
Jeez.
So are going to shove so much stuff in there.
I mean, all right. Early prediction. Dwayne shows up, right?
Oh, he's got it. Yeah.
Roman's going to win Lafala, and he's going to show up, or he's going to cost him the Lafala. But yeah. Solo, no way Solo and the Bubettes win. They're like, just win. And then something like that.
The only thing I hope is that they really let these guys go at it. If this is tribal combat, let's don't do it like the other tribal combats. Let these dudes fight.
Yes.
Let them fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trey, man, get violent with it. Show off that new, you know, we're not TV-14, we're not anything, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, just.
You've got some runway here. Let these guys play.
The first time Roman says, you will fucking acknowledge me, I will ascend to Valhalla.
let's do that. Let's not, because the last time they did the tribal combat, it was just a no DQ match, basically. We got to better than that. So, yeah, let them do some extra crazy shit, you know?
Right. They've been booking this stuff for a while, so let them do all the stuff they've been booking in the backyard.
Yep. Over, you know, under promise, over deliver here, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what else we got? Now we got. Sorry, I'm trying to take Jason's job from him.
No, I mean, I didn't realize that you wanted the card for that.
Oh, no, we don't have to do the whole card. The other big thing that we can talk about is just for a minute, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. This is a huge match again for this card. Do you think anything really gets resolved here?
No.
Like, I think there's going to be a fuck finish on this one.
Yeah, there's a fuck finish here. And I'm curious to know if, because a lot of people are saying Seth Rollins got cooked in that promo thing. And I'm like, well, he had one hand tied behind his back, because when he's laying out the CM Punk timeline, I don't know if he's allowed to mention the UFC thing, considering they're bosom buddies with the UFC now. And we don't really need to be reminded. Hey, remember that time we gave this guy a bunch of money and he embarrassed us? Twice, by the way. Yeah, that was cool, right?
I'm going to say something about that. Even at the time when I was so anti-CM Punk that I could have just, the guy could have walked off the face of the earth and I would have been like, next. I defended his UFC stuff because at least he tried.
Dreamers.
He did more than I ever could. I would have gotten my ass handed to me. And I was in pretty good shape back then.
But, yeah, and he took a spot on the card from a kid who could have actually got a shot. And also, he brought in a bunch of buys from people like me, who then were like, oh, cool, the wrestler guy won't embarrass us, right? Oh, well.
Jason is forever hating on CM Punk. It's not just a gimmick anymore.
Oh, man.
So I don't think they ever bring that up, just because I think it's irrelevant in the grand scheme of actual storytelling. The rest of it,
It's another step in the you have burned every single bridge you have ever come across. Like, you have embarrassed yourself or burned every bridge.
Shoehorn in with that are the comments he made about pro wrestling when he was asked about it when he was training for the UFC. You know, you can probably bring that up, but then, and this is a weird kind of.
You can't
area.
Say that on TV, though.
Right. And that's what I was about to say. That's that weird area where we all know what it is, but to a certain degree, we should still be protecting at least that last little part of the business.
leave it at innuendo and be like, oh, remember when you were training for UFC and they said wrestling, you know, and wrestling was, you know, going to be a good segue. And you're like, ah, I don't believe in that anymore or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you can find a way around it.
Find a way around it. And most people will know what you're talking about. Like he said the F word.
The other thing with me, and I thought Seth did really well because literally was I'm listening to Seth talk. He is DJ circa 2014, 2015, because this is about everything that I would have, that I had in my head about CM Punk. Like this company gave you all of this and you tried to bury him. You tried to burn it to the ground. And Seth was basically an echo chamber for everything I had in my head at the height of my anti-CM Punk era.
443 days as champion, when, or 34 days was champion, when they didn't do that at all. Like long reigns, that weren't a, it wasn't a thing in that era.
Right. So I think both guys 50-50 owned the night. The segment was incredible. Rob, I know you had some thoughts. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I was going to, so as far as like referencing the UFC stuff, I mean, nobody ever did that with Ronda. Nobody ever said Ronda and brought up Holly Holm to Ronda.
Right. I think you can leave that separate.
Because it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really.
It's not relevant.
And and you're trying to get both people over as credible competitors and blah,
no,
blah, blah.
No, I want to bury that guy, dude. Fuck that.
I know you want to, but I mean, it doesn't help.
You're taking money out of the bag, Jason.
I don't care. I'm with Seth. I'm with Colby Lopez. You know, I'm not just with Seth Rollins.
Now he's a Seth Rollins fan. Jesus, Jason, you're flip.
I've always been a Seth Rollins fan. What are you talking about?
You're flip flopping on things ought to be studied.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
I've always been a Seth Rollins supporter, unless he's on in the other corner from the rope from the travel feet.
Oh, God. What else have we got? They've got Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
Yeah, just do it.
Just
do it.
Pull the trigger and let's end this.
This is happy. Monday this night. Is happy, fun time. Send the crowd home happy. Like, not that that's going to be the main event, but, you know, everything's going to send the whole crowd home happy. Make it one of those shows.
It's not that I want this feud to end. I'm tired of people whining about it online. And so many people, like you said, I'm fine with it. I think Liv, for her part, has been incredible. I kind of, and again, because I critique everything, Rhea is technically the heel here.
Mm.
And they just don't acknowledge it because she's the one who initially injured Liv Morgan. But we've quietly moved past that. And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, shush, guys. It's like Men in Black. They did the little clicky thing and, you know, we're supposed to forget about that. So I'll play along for play along's sake, but I'm so sick of listening to the discourse online. End it and move these girls on to something else for them. Just so I don't have, for me, so I don't have to see this shit anymore.
I also think they've kind of run out of gas at this point. You can maybe even go back to it, but it's time for Rhea to win and just.
It needs some freshening up, either whether they take a side road and reconvene around WrestleMania or they just step away from each other for another year. Like, these two have great working chemistry together, so there's always a story that you get. There's always a story baked in that you can come back to, but I think for now people have got a little bit of fatigue on it, and the injury to Rhea Ripley certainly did not help this situation. Right. You know, her being out for a couple months with the shoulder derailed a whole bunch of things, and it pushed the timeline back about 3 months. So, you know, I get that, but it's as much as I'm not over it, it has kind of run out of steam.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. And again,
Rob's giggling. Rob's laughing over here.
Get back to it.
Here comes. Get the Liv Morgan haterade out because here it comes.
I'm ready for the orange hair lady to come back. That's how.
Oh my God.
That's where I am with this. Okay.
Wow.
It's WrestleMania season. The grown-ups are coming home, whether that's the orange-haired lady or the 14-time women's champion over on SmackDown. Oscar will be back soon. The grown-ups are coming home. It's time for the grown-ups to sit back at the grown-ups table. And, you know, we've been doing this, let the kids play for a while now. Okay, it's done. Okay. It's time, you know, WrestleMania season. I have talked about how I have talked about how the division needed the big guns to be firing again now that they're going to be back. All right. So that, you know, I have talked about that, and that has nothing to do with any personal preference for anybody, but it's coming around the corner. It's time to do it. And, you know, it just is. Okay. I mean, and, you know, I have said that in 2024, if you looked at the pay-per-view matches, that the root beer company had better pay-per-view matches. And that's, you know, and I know some people who will be looking at me funny for saying that, but, you know, it's time for the WWE to reassert its position in women's wrestling. And to do that, you need your big guns at the table, and they need to be treated like big guns. They need to not be there to put other people over. And it's time to get back to that. And, it, you know, and look, okay, fine. You want to call me a little more hated? Fine, but whatever. Okay. I don't think she's terrible. There are just other people who I'd rather see when the bell rings. Several other people who I'd rather see when the bell rings.
And that's fair. You know, it's, I've got women that I'm like, okay, you're not doing it for me, but.
And that's, I'd rather see them because quite frankly, I think, you know, they're better than her when the bell rings. And when we're talking about the world championship, I want to see the better people fight for the world championship. Okay. I know there are stories and this and that, characters and then the other, but you know, I want to see the better people fight for the world championship. Okay. And not that no one else can ever get a turn, but it's been 8 months. Okay. 8 months too long. Okay. I'm sorry. Especially when you have to, and you know what? Here's the thing. If they were booking things, they've been smoke and mirroring the matches and all that stuff with her. So they're telling you that they don't think she's capable of but so much. Okay. They're telling you that. It's not me telling you that. Okay. They're telling you that. Okay.
Jesse, the body likes Liv Morgan. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Oh, we can move on.
But so they're telling you that. Okay. Cause all right. And you can look at the evidence and figure it out for yourself, but they're telling you that. Okay. And so therefore it's time. And you know, and again, look, I'm not calling for her to be released. I'm not calling her to return to a jobber or anything like that. It's just, I'm not even saying she should never win the title again, but 8 months is a bit long, to be doing this. And so it's time.
All right. So let's do this before we get too long, because we could probably talk about what everything they've got, you know, definitely planned, potential rumors. I want to start here. Jason, got two questions for you. Think about your answer while I'm asking here. Okay. One thing that you want to see happen on Monday night, and is there a surprise return that you'd like to see?
I'd like to see one of the two women Rob just mentioned, you know, Charlotte or Becky. That would be nice. And as far as what I'm looking for, I want to see them tell us they're going to occasionally push the envelope now that they're on the internet.
Okay.
You know, they don't have to make it like, you know, they don't have to, both Roman and Solo don't have to, you know, run the razor or something like that. But just, you know, I think of a creative way to show us, oh, okay, it's different now.
We know adults are in the room too. That's all I ask. And not that they haven't done that to a degree lately. Like, they, 2024, they really started to turn that corner and remind us that, hey, we know you guys of a certain age and you girls of a certain age are also watching, but this is still a kids show. I like that. Rob, what about you? One thing that you hope they do Monday night, and one return that you're hoping to see, which I think I know the answer to.
My hoping is for the 14-time Women's Champion to come back on Friday. I think there's unfinished business over there with a bunch of people. I hope if Dwayne does come back, please don't spoil it. Don't drop any hints. Don't tell us anything. Okay.
Yeah.
If he's going to show up, then I want it to be a complete shocker. Even though we're all kind of suspecting he might show up, but just don't drop any hints. Don't do anything, you know. And if, you know, if there's going to be, if somebody else is going to show up to help Solo, like I know there's a third brother, I forgot how you pronounce his name, but he's the Tongan's other brother.
Yeah. Something with an H.
Yeah. And it's
Hikulea or something like that.
And it's been rumored forever that he's already been signed. If, you know, if they want to pull that one out, that'd be a good time to do it. You know, and cause again, like nobody's really thinking about it. That would be, you know, that would be cool if they want to go that route. And then, yeah, again, you know, just do enough to, you know, to let us know that, yeah, we're not on network TV here. And I also did want to throw one more thing in. So they're doing the final of the women's intercontinental thing the next week.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that they did that because that would have been totally unfair to Lyra and Dakota to stick them in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and that's really, that being the inaugural Intercontinental Championship women's title match, it needs its own moment, and it needs to not be crowded in this sea of things that could very well include The Rock, could very well include some surprise returns, some big moments, and a lot of other things. That needs to be a moment in and of itself. For me, I'm in line with you guys. I hope that they use the runway that they've got. You know, you've got this whole new canvas that you can paint in. Let's paint something a little different than we've been doing. And for returns, selfishly, for what reason, I don't know. I'd like to see Stone Cold Steve Austin show up. I think that'd be a pretty cool. Who he interacts with, I don't know. Why he shows up, I don't have an answer to that. I think it would be a cool moment for me personally to see him show up.
Well, because they are on the West Coast. They're in L.A. this time, right?
Yeah, and that's close. I think he's in between Texas and L.A. doing, because I think he's got a residence in L.A. as well.
Okay, well, it's because like, he ain't coming to the East Coast. You know?
No, he's not. he don't cross over from mountain time to any other time zone. So all in all, man, I'm looking forward to that Monday night. That's going to be a hard one, man. I haven't sat through 3 hours of Raw in a long, long time. I don't have cable, so I haven't watched a live. Last night's episode of Dynamite is the first actual live wrestling I've watched other than pay-per-views and premium live events in forever. So if I'm going to – how I'm going to make it through a 3-hour Raw is yet to be determined. Well, so we'll see how that goes.
Pace yourself and – look, what I always do, look, if they get to the part of a show that you are just not interested in for whatever reason, don't struggle through it. That's, you know,
yeah.
If they get the part of the show you're not interested in, because they're having like a Travis Scott was performing.
Yeah, they got Travis Scott concert. I'm like, why?
I don't give a damn about Travis Scott when he comes.
I don't either.
So that's your time. Take your break.
Yeah. I may take a page out of Rob's book and take a little nap in the early afternoon too, though.
Yeah, I mean, cause that just the way to get through these 3-hour TV shows is that when something comes on that you're not interested in, that's when you take your break.
Yeah.
Don't struggle through it.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, I want to mention one more thing. There was a NOAH show this weekend. And we had all collectively, actually, no, it just happened, 2 days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 2 days ago. Yeah. And we were all talking in the chat. We were all going to watch it. I didn't know when it was, and I didn't know if it was available anywhere here in the States. Long story short, we ended up not watching it, but we did want to throw a huge congratulations out there to the Giant Omos. Had an incredible, incredible reception over there. The Great Muta is all in on this guy, and I love seeing it. And he won their tag championships, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know who the guy is that he won them with, but they won the tag championships. I saw some bits and pieces of the match. He looked as incredible as he ever does. So glad to see someone doing something with that big man.
Yeah,
man, he looks like a superstar over there.
He looks like he's having the time of his life too.
Yeah, and so we've been rooting for the guy, and so it's always good to see, you know, him find something to do with folks, and so you all the best and congratulations, big man.
All right, guys, 2025 is looking to be an incredible year, not only from WWE, AEW, TNA, looking for big things from them. We as pro wrestling fans are going to be fed in 2025. I'm looking forward to it. Gentlemen, I don't know about you.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. Anyway, we are going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys, as always, for joining us on these episodes, for all the years that you've been with us, for those of you that have. If you're new listeners, welcome aboard to the show. We hope to get better from here. Got some big plans for 2025, working on a couple creative things for the new year to try and make the show better for you, more fun for us, and just keep things going in a positive motion here. This has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I'm going to go around the room and thank my cast of characters on this show, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob, sir. Fun show tonight. This was good.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure.
And Jason, sir, fun show. I actually got to talk some AEW with you guys and actually have some context for a change.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We should do this more often, and we will going forward.
You know what? Let's do this every week.
Wow. Good idea.
Good idea? Okay, I'm glad I thought of it. And I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week. All right.
You know, and find something to do with folks. And so, yeah, all the best, and congratulations, big man.
All right, guys, 2025 is looking to be an incredible year, not only from WWE, AEW, TNA, looking for big things from them. We as pro wrestling fans are going to be fed in 2025. I'm looking forward to it. Gentlemen, I don't know about you.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. Anyway, we are going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys, as always, for joining us on these episodes, for all the years that you've been with us, for those of you that have. If you're new listeners, welcome aboard to the show. We hope to get better from here. Got some big plans for 2025, working on a couple creative things for the new year to try and make the show better for you, more fun for us, and just keep things going in a positive motion here. This has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I'm going to go around the room and thank my cast of characters on this show, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob, sir. Fun show tonight. This was good.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure.
And Jason, sir, fun show. I actually got to talk some AEW with you guys and actually have some context for a change.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We should do this more often, and we will going forward.
You know what? Let's do this every week.
Wow. Good idea.
Good idea? Okay, I'm glad I thought of it. And I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week. All right.
Like, dude, I don't know. If we were recording right now, I have no shot to tell you what day it is in less than 10 seconds. I'd be like, yeah.
That has been me all day today.
Dude, from Christmas to a little bit past the new year, time isn't real.
It is. It's just like some long, continuous day where you have some drinks and some snacks, and you see family you haven't seen in months.
Right, and then a couple days in between for us where we go to work, and then we go back and do more partying and seeing family. And so, yeah, brutal.
It was even worse this year because Christmas was literally on a Wednesday, New Year's literally on a Wednesday. Screwed the whole week up for 2 weeks.
Yep. Well, someone's not happy.
Yeah, my son has been up in Kentucky with my parents for the last 2 weeks. And his cat is having severe separation anxiety, so I've become his new person.
Oh, no.
And he cannot handle the fact that I am in the pod cave with the door closed. He's got his paw under the door.
Let him in, dude. That's what I do with Bucky. I just let him in and let him sit with me.
That's what I usually do.
That's what you do with Kitty, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He'll climb all over me and won't give me a minute's peace. I'm working on a new model, and I was sitting down last night to paint, and I got about 10 minutes worth of painting in, and he jumped up on my lap and was like all over me. So I was like, look, I'm trying to paint, dude, and I don't want cat hair all over my wet paint. So I'm like, pet him a little bit, and I put him down. I'm like, all right, go on. Nope, he jumped right back up, and he was not giving me a minute's peace. And if I do that, he's going to come in and do the same thing.
With
Sasha, if I let Sasha in here, she'll find a place to lay down, and she won't be too obnoxious. She just wants to be in the same room that I'm in. Right. With Valen, he has to be on somebody. Like, he's such a
Valen? Where did your son come up with that name?
I don't know. I think it was from a book that his mother read. I think his mother actually named him.
That screams to me like a Final Fantasy character or something, but I know it's not that. But like,
it was probably from a fantasy book. I'd probably look it up. I've never really. I used to call him Van Halen.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm hoping he'll just like find a place and lay down. But we picked Dylan up. Dylan will be back. Well, his flight comes in at like 12:30 Sunday night into Monday morning. So I'm taking Monday off because the airport's like an hour and a half away. So Monday he's all his. He can go back to his daddy and leave me the hell alone.
Well, it's going to be an interesting background noise on the podcast. I don't know if you guys can hear that. It's like beep or squeak in the background, but Bucky just got a new toy. So,
Yeah. So we're going to have all kinds of, there's our noise box. We've got cats meowing and squeaky toys.
Yeah.
We don't need a sound bar. We've got pets.
Great.
And Rob's getting a gavel.
Yeah, Rob needs a gavel.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, I need like the gas station bell. When like someone's too big for their britches, or when I just want to call some nonsense out, just like ding-a-ling. That like, I don't know, that ching ching like you get in the 50s gas stations.
Yeah, they used to, it was like up until like the last, no, maybe it was when I was living in New York. I think there's some places in the Northeast, like in Jersey and parts of New York, that still have those, because they're, I don't know if it's the same way in Massachusetts or where Rob's at, but it's still all service up there. Like, you can't pump your own gas in New York and New Jersey.
Right. No, we can do self-serve here.
Yeah. So, they come out, but that took some getting used to when I lived in New York for a year, was like letting them get the gas. That was very awkward.
Yeah. I hate whenever I drive through, because I almost always get my own gas. So I'm just like, I like start to get out of the car, and then I'm like, oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah, it's full service here.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they don't have full service here. Everything is self-service here.
That's really? Florida. Yeah, Florida self-service. I was probably in utero the last time we had a full service gas station in Florida.
Jeez.
Look, if you ask them to pump it for you here, they probably look at you like you're on crack. like, want me to do what?
As it is, you get nasty looks when you go to the checkout counter at the gas station half the time anyway.
Right. Yeah. You paying with cash? God damn you.
Some places, you live in the city, man. They prefer cash.
No, man. I just hate it. I'm like, card. We don't even have to go inside, guys. And then that means the people inside getting snacks. Just get their snacks.
Yeah. Now, that took some getting used to as well when I lived in New York, was most places will take card. They would prefer you didn't, but a lot of them have a sign coming in the door. If your order is less than $20, you're paying cash. So, and me being a single guy wanting to go out and grab lunch for myself, if I want to have a couple slices of pizza and a Coke, it's 10 bucks most in the city, and I never have cash, ever. So yeah, really. That was a bit awkward. That took some getting used to.
Like, I occasionally, when I have cash, it's usually after a holiday if my mom gives me some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very rare occasion that you catch me with actual cash.
I'll have a couple of bucks on me occasionally, because, you know, at the pot shop, they deal in ATM, like, withdrawals from your card, basically, and they can do it in increments of, like, 5 or whatever, 10 or whatever they can do it in. So most of the time, numbers are odd, so they end up giving you cash as change. You overpay, and then they give you cash as change. So that's the only time I really have cash.
Yeah. Nope. I don't carry it. I mean, unless the rare occasion that I want to buy lottery tickets, because you have to have cash for those.
Right.
So. Speaking of which, I didn't hit the $1.22 billion. Somebody in freaking California hit the big Mega Millions.
Oh, well.
One person. $1.22 billion.
I love when people get all, like, bent out of shape. Like, oh, man, buy your tickets. It's getting up there. I'm like, yeah, as if the regular Mega Millions isn't, like, life-changing for any one of us. Stop it.
And that's what Tina said. Tina's like, you know what? If we won the $5 million Florida lottery,
we'd be fine.
It wouldn't bother me at all. Like, I wouldn't turn my nose up at that at all.
Oh.
So, but we really don't play. If I spend $40 a year on the lottery, that was a busy year for me.
Yeah, we might spend it if we end up at a casino somewhere. I might play a few rounds of, like, play a game of craps and then, all right, we're out of here.
Yeah, I'm not a gambler.
I mean, I put like.
I enjoy it. I think it's fun, but I definitely know my addictive personality. So I'm like, okay, nope. I mean, and it's only certain stuff. I just enjoy craps, really. And there's almost no skill involved there.
Because I put like $20 in my DraftKings account, you know, and I don't even use it all. So, yeah, that's it. Because, I mean, I enjoy picking games for fun.
Sports betting is a whole different thing, though, because like there's so much. I mean, obviously the fix is in with everything, but there's a lot of stuff out of control of the bookmakers.
Yeah, so honestly, like if you want to win, if you want to really win in sports betting, that has to be your job.
Yeah,
like the guys who are serious, they move out to Vegas and they live out there, and that's all they do. That's literally their career. I mean, you know, they spend all day hitting people up for information and, you know, all this studying odds and algorithms and, you know.
I couldn't imagine the hypertension that would cause.
I mean.
These guys have got to be on meds.
Oh, probably. I mean, yeah, you got to be.
Or drugs, yeah.
I mean, you got to be mental to even think you could do that for a living. But, I mean, the guys who do it, that's what they do. It's literally their job. They go out there and they live out there in Vegas and, you know, and they talk to, you know, they spend their day talking to people, basically.
Yeah.
A little tidbit of information possible and then, you know, and all that type of stuff. And
see, I'm with Jason. I have such an addictive personality that if I really got into betting, I would be living on the street, busted ass broke. The one time we went to Vegas, I set a limit. I'm like, okay, I have $200. When the $200 is gone, I'm done. And the $200 was gone in quick order. You know, as that happens, you know, it was your normal Vegas thing. I was up, I was down, I was up, I was down, and then I was down and I was out. The one time I did win a little something about, God, probably had to be about 6 or 7 years ago. My company did their like summer office party. And in lieu of like a party, what they did was because I live like 45 minutes away from Port Canaveral, which when we go on our cruises is where we leave out of. And they have gambling cruises that you go out for the day. The boat goes out, you know, 5 or 10 miles, however it is until you're in international waters and you can gamble. And they're all set up like casinos and they chartered one of those for the day. So we went out there and, you know, again, I set a limit. I'm like, okay, I've got $100, you know, this is what I have to spend. And once it's gone, it's gone. Then I'll just eat the free food and drink the drinks and have a good time. We got down to probably the last hour or so. And Tina and I were on like the nickel slots or the penny slots or something, the cheap slots. You know, we were on the cheap shit. And I was up $8 and I went ahead. We were getting ready to leave. I went ahead and bet the whole $8 on something and turned that into $112.
Nice.
So, and it was funny. And I'm like, God, why couldn't this have been like a dollar slot or something? Cause I could have walked out of here with some money, but it's literally the only time I've ever won anything with any type of gambling. Cause the only one other time I went on that gambling cruise with a friend for his 30th birthday, I think. And I lost my ass. So yeah, I don't gamble. I'll sit there forever and lose every dime I've ever had.
Real quick. And I apologize if I've told this story before, but the one time, excuse me, I won big on craps. It's the same bet I always do. And you know, bet the point Then you make one come bet. Excuse me. You bet the make a come bet, and then you bet 2 points. I won't explain it any further. But so we went out for my birthday to Mohegan Sun, the casino near us, and I got on the table with $50, and I just kept doing that. 40 minutes later, I walked away with $800 and never touched a table for the rest of the trip.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I would have cashed out, and that would have been it.
Like, I'm not even going to wait for my next win, because three rolls in a row, my bets hit at the end, and I was just like, that's it. We're done. I scooped up everything. I was like, I'm not pushing this luck any further. Three rolls, three wins. We're out of here.
Yep. Good call, man. Good call.
I would have lost that money back so fast.
I have no such stories like that. I got
no.
Because I don't want to play slots. I guess for me, slots are too random.
And, yeah.
I have the urge to feel like I outsmarted somebody, but, so I played like blackjack.
That's why I felt the way I did. I was riding so high, because I was like, I didn't just run the roulette wheel. Like, I made these bets and I was stuck to that system for all 40 minutes and I cleaned the fuck up. Let's go.
I can't do cards like blackjack and poker and all that, because I'm not smart. And there's definitely a mathematical, there's a method to it. And I don't get the method, and I'm quite frankly not smart enough to figure it out. So they would take the shirt off my back. At poker and blackjack. Oh,
same here. I would get annihilated in poker.
Well, I got chased away from the table in blackjack. I was doing okay.
Blackjack, anything that involves like real counting, because you don't have to add, you just have to know numbers.
Basically, the two guys came to the table and they put down so much money that they basically said, kid, get out of here.
Oh, the bowlers came out.
Yeah. I'm.
You want to split the sharks?
I had my little $50 I was playing with.
Yeah.
And this one guy comes and puts down like $500 on the table.
Oh, I'm out.
And then two minutes later, this guy comes and puts down $600, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, okay.
All right. One of those kind of guys.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.